I knew I was a good guy.
Amen.
Serious? When you started to talk, yeah? What you pray for is Pete, please.
Father, thank you for being here tonight. I ask that you just open people's ears so they can hear. I ask that you bless Mr. Stolten here. Give him those words you have him to say, Father. Your son's name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good evening. Thank you for allowing me to come here to your church. Joe said last night that since he got married, this is the fullest his church has been in 9 years. Yeah? Maybe somebody will become part of the equation of the bridegroom tonight, huh? Maybe we'll be here for one of them weddings, right? And that's what it's all about, right?
That's right. Sure.
What it's all about. Oh, glory. I just want to look at you for a minute. You know? My wife's pretty. A couple others. My daughters are pretty. Pete? Yeah. But anyways, Brother Pete was talking tonight about the way, right? And the way being Jesus Christ. The truth being Jesus Christ. The life being Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The steps of a good man are ordered by. And who is the Lord? Jesus Christ. Right? I like the analogy of not wanting to walk barefoot through the fields of temptation. Straight. Totally liked it. That was great. You know? We get out there and then we're just walking in our own flesh. I want to have a little bit of that cover of God underneath me and around me and above me and behind me and in front of me.
Man,
everywhere. But I have a little joke that I'd like to tell every place when I see some new people. You know what my alligator Bible cover proves? I'm not a vegan. I like humor. I like humor a lot because God invented humor. We're going to rejoice, we're going to be happy, we're going to smile, we're going to laugh. We're going to laugh till our bellies hurt and our eyes can't stop crying in heaven. But the Bible says at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
It's a pleasurable thing to smile.
Amen.
She's always smiling. And she's married to Joe. Maybe that's why, man. Maybe that's why. Open your Bibles to the book of John, please. Book of John. It is really great to see so many people stuffed into this little church that God's kept open. You know, I was a little wasn't too sure first opportunity I had to preach here tonight or tomorrow night or Wednesday, Sunday, whenever it would be, what it would be that I would speak about a couple, three different things in preparation. And one of them is about assembling, and that's not what I want to talk to you about tonight, but that was brought up too about assembling together. God's kept this building going over several years without a full-time pastor. Mm-hmm. Your people are important to God here.
Right.
Your community is important to God.
That's right.
It's His will that these doors stay open. Yeah. I don't know hardly anybody here except the folks from my church. Y'all are lucky about it.
Amen.
But God brought you here tonight. We got to hear from Pete as he was God's mouthpiece. McVeigh doesn't like to say he's a speaker, right?
Right.
Whatever. By the way, it was McVeigh that gave that sermon that you couldn't think about. Who was that fellow? But John 1:1 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word, capital W, was with God, capital G, and the Word, capital W, was God, capital G. Five capital words in a row. What's that? They're all proper nouns. They're all denoting a person, place, or a thing. Well, this isn't a place. It is a holy thing, but it's a person. It's a person of Jesus Christ. The Word, the Word, okay? Yeah, the same was in the beginning of God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I love when I read my Bible and I realize that every person who's ever born into this world is lighted on the inside by the Word of God. He loves to search the inward parts of us. And we hate it because we can't understand it. We do not have the ability to comprehend it on our own. So we have this that Pete keeps picking up and Stephen picks it up. And Kyle, he just kind of rubs his. Amen, though. He rubs that book because he loves it. You know, you do this constantly. Constantly. You think it's because he's thinking about what to talk about? And that's all you can think about, I love Jesus. I love my Bible. I love the Word. Amen. I love to watch that man rub his Bible. But the darkness comprehended it not. How long have we been sitting in the pews here in the Word of God and you just don't get it?
Right.
You know why you don't get it? You don't want to get it. You don't comprehend it because you'd rather live in darkness. You'd rather live your own way, the way of man, the way of the fool. You'd rather die in your own ways than to believe the Word of God. You'd rather push that light down that's in your belly. You'd rather try to blow that candle out. But the Word of God wants to fan the flame. It wants to be like a bellows on your inward parts and just blow that flame up so there's a blast furnace and that you can't reject it, that you can't rebel against it. Amen. But everything you want, oh, I got some heartburn. I'm going to drink me some water and sit down. Right? I'm not good with analogies and examples and all that. Because I still do that sometimes. I'll be reading my Bible and God will say this and I'll go, nope, let me have a drink. You light me up. God lights you up and He lights you on the inside because He loves you. It's not God's will that any should perish, but it also comes to repentance.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, turn your Bibles over to 1 John now real quick. 1 John. I think that's before Revelation. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 John 5, 7. The Bible says this. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. What did the seraphim say? Holy, 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 holy Father, holy Word, holy, holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gets a double holy. He does a lot of work, I guess. Amen.
Amen.
Right? He searches you on the inward parts. For these three bear record in heaven. There's enough of us in here with the right color hair. We know what a vinyl record is. You know, what is that? That's a recording of something laid down in an attempt to make it permanent. But the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost bear a record in heaven that's a permanent account, one of another. We can read in the law that if somebody's going to be brought against somebody as an accusation or a charge, if you're laying a charge against somebody, you need two witnesses. God always has two witnesses in Himself about who He is. Always. The Father and the Son, or the Father and the Word bear record of the Holy Ghost. The Word and the Holy Ghost bear record of the Father and the Holy Ghost. I lost track. I am math dyslexic. I ain't educated. Never graduated high school. Never graduated. Tried two different colleges. Never graduated either one. But they bear record one of another. And that's the record that's inside of every person that comes into this world. The record that God is real and He exists. And He lights you on the inside. And you want to reject Him. I wrote this message a while back, and it's the second or third time I've spoke it. And this is the third time. It's coming out a little different this time. Because the Word of God is quick. And you see, I knew that I knew this was the right one tonight for right now because Pete was talking to us about the Word.
Yeah.
And Dale was talking about the Word. And all the time God talks to me about the Word, His Word, Himself. And it's usually, Ronnie, you're not paying attention to the Word enough. You're not paying attention to me enough. You're paying attention to yourself. We all have that problem.
Yeah.
You know, Dale's right, but Dale's wrong. Dale said 3 or 4% of us have shut our ears down. Probably more like 30 or 40%.
Mm.
You got real quiet.
Yeah.
Word of God is sharp, powerful, quick, cuts, slices, it stabs, pierces. If you do this, it doesn't hurt as much. But the end of the ways of man, which is doing this, is death, separation from God, from eternity, and that hurts a whole lot more. And there's no escape. You might be able to escape preaching for a minute or an hour, even while you're here. Some of the young men, Luke, he's talking about it, sit in church and think about, I don't know, whatever it was, fishing, racing, cars, basketball, anything. What was going on with the man of God preaching and the Word of God coming forth. Right?
Yeah.
See, I used to do that, but I never did it on purpose. I was just so loaded most of the time, I couldn't help it. I had to get sober. I had to do a work of repentance and get drugs out of my life so I could hear from God. Right? Because the Bible says what? Here, we haven't got to that verse yet I want to read, but here's the very first verse that God gave me. I'll read this to you. John 3:20 says this. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You do wicked things because you don't want that light of the Word of God. You don't want that light of Jesus Christ to reprove your deeds. So you do these evil things and you refuse to come over here. That's why I stayed high all the time. Because I could rebel and reject against God and it made it easier. The Bible says, bring forth works, repent, or bring forth works meet for repentance. That's what God said to me when He terrified me so much that I got cold turkey sober. A couple of, probably about 2 weeks after I got cold turkey sober and my brain started to function again, He took John 3:20 and opened it to me. Nice. Said, "You, stop these things because you'll want to come to me finally. You're finally taking a step towards me." I got really, really excited. And I was running back and forth. I understand. Sent him an email. Sent McVay an email. I understand. This verse. God opened this verse to me. They all wrote me back something different. Pastor, amen. That was it. Yeah, like you said, sometimes they talk to you. Sometimes they're like, well, we'll see. Dale's like, well, let the reproving begin. And McVay, I have no idea what he said. I don't remember. I'm sure it was good, though. I'm not being funny. I just don't remember. I was very excited. God opened His Word to me. He showed me with His Word something on the inside of me. And I liked it. I liked it. It was exciting. So we see these three bear record in heaven. And from the OED, we see that anything preserving information and constituting a piece of evidence about past events, an account kept in writing, or some other permanent form. I'm going to take a little sidestep right here. I heard Pastor Seeley teaching one time, and he said, when Christ did His work on the cross and in the bowels of the earth, that He was literally separated in four different ways. And I had to think about it for a while, but He said His soul went into the lower parts of the earth, His spirit went to God, and His body went in earth. And He said, but His blood was separate too. Okay? So His soul went down, His spirit went up, His body went in the ground, and His blood was recovered by the Holy Ghost and put up there for us, right?
Yeah.
We have God the Father. We have God the Word. We have God the Holy Ghost. And we have the King James Bible. We have the perfect Word of God in all its forms. If we're here to see and hear about it. Psalm 119:89 is forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Where is Christ right now? He's in heaven. He's at the Father's right side, where there are pleasures forevermore. And he's settled about it too, by the way. Is there a perfect King James Bible in heaven? I think so. Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Jesus could just say, and have it all come out. You know? Jesus, on page 1344 of my Bible, what's the 18th punctuation mark? Semicolon. Be careful, though, because the devil can do that, too. Right? Yeah? I think, was you last night? You said you could memorize this whole book and still be lost. Don't think because you got it memorized, you got it all figured out. Memorizing the Bible isn't what warns you again. It's the Word of God doing its work in you in an effectual way that warns you again. It's not your effort. It's not your will. It's not your work, right? Can I say work? Do we have a trinity of works that we do? Is that our ways? Is that our trinity of works? I don't know. Sounds kind of neat to say that, though. I won't be long, probably. Probably. Probably not. I won't. But we have a perfect Trinity, perfect holy record in heaven. Amen. And God saw fit to write it down in a book and preserve it for us here forever so we have it. You know, Dale, he likes to say, I don't need other books. And we saw a preacher, we went and saw him to a conference, guy says, I don't like them guys who say they don't need any book other than the Bible. Paul said, I need my books and my parchments. Well, and my point is this. Yeah, I got a point, I really do. I'm just a simple enough redneck that one day somebody said to me, the King James Bible is the perfect holy word of God, and I was okay with that. I was just that simple-minded. It didn't need to be proved to me. Now, God needed through the preaching and the teaching and the reading of the Word of God to show himself to me through it. But it was easy for me in my mind to decide to believe to the best of my ability that the King James Bible was a perfect Word of God. That's your job if you're lost. To the best of your ability, decide that the King James Bible is a perfect Word of God. Believe. The faith comes from God. The belief comes from you. And then repentance is something, there's an action that you will perform. You know? Yeah, I'm a little bit off track, off the notes. My wife says I'm a little bit off. I like to smile. You know when you know what you remember music and songs. And you always want to remember things that make you chuckle though too. So I think it's okay to chuckle a little bit when we hear some preaching. I'm not up here to put a comedy show on for you, though. Which is good. Isaiah says this in 55:11. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in all in the thing whereunto I sent it.
Amen.
So the Word of God was sent.
Amen.
God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Ghost. The Word was sent to accomplish a purpose that God has.
Yeah.
I got so excited one day. I should have bigger thumbs than I got. I'm pretty good at that. I said, Dale, God just showed me something. Jesus Christ didn't return to heaven void. Hey, I thought that was great, y'all.
Amen.
He says, I remember when God told me that. I was like, oh, man. That encouraged me, though. He said, God showed me that, too. I was, I don't know, I was 18 months old at the time, maybe something like that. You open up your Bible, God'll fan that flame for you.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. You want him to. Amen. You want him to.
Amen.
So all you're worried about is a preacher hurrying up, getting done, so you go home and have a chimichanga or whatever it is. A cup of coffee. You know? I like chimichanga. It's a burrito kind of thing. But then you're not going to get anything out of it.
Right.
Purpose in your heart.
Amen.
To desire the things of God.
Amen.
God already desires that for you.
Amen.
I always say, decision's not destiny, choice is not chance. Experiment where you are and where you're going to go in. Decide to do to the best of your ability to believe the Word of God, that He wants to meet with you, and that He wants to change you from the inside out, lost or saved. God wants you different tomorrow than you were today. He wants you more like Him. Right? Is it a born again person on the path to be conformed to the image of the Son of God?
Right.
It means He's going to stuff you in a mold like some Play-Doh. You ever remember having a Play-Doh mold when you were little? You put a chunk of Play-Doh in there, but it smells so good you want to eat it too. It's salty, by the way, if you never tried it. Right? Okay. But you put it in that mold, let's say it's a soccer ball. You put a clump of that Play-Doh in the soccer ball, and you fold it over and you mush it down, and some of it comes out and you got to cut it off. God's conforming us. What's He doing? He's pushing this into a mold. He's cutting stuff off of us, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Psalm 12, 6. Let's turn there. Psalm 12, verse 6. Psalm 12, 6 says this. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. I like this verse very much, not because I have it memorized, but because of what it says.
Amen.
Because of what God showed me one day about it. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver. 3 main metals in the Bible. Brass, representing judgment. Gold, representing deity. And silver representing
redemption.
I'm gonna put this. And I'm not changing the Word of God. I'm just gonna read it a little different, just for a second, though. Trust me on this, please. The words of the Lord is pure words, as silver or as redemption tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Redemption. Is Christ not our redeemer? Is Christ not the Word? Did Christ not enter into the lower parts of the earth? Does Revelation tell us, you know, He counseled us to buy of Him gold, tried in the fire, right? And we say, well, you went from silver to gold. Yeah, because gold represents deity. But without the deity of Christ, there could be no redemption in the Word of God. So they go together. You know, you can't take gold and silver, though, and melt them together. They won't gel together. They'll clump together, but at the same time, they're still separate. Mm-hmm. You can have a gold and a silver ring. Mm-hmm. So just like Christ, when you have Christ, you have deity and you have redemption at the same time. Or can they be the same thing? Yes. Are they separate at the same time? No. Yes. Without the deity of the Word of God, there could not be any redemption. So that's what I like about that verse. Silver represents redemption. And we read, I don't have the reference written down, but in the book of John, Jesus is talking to some people, and He says unto them, He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have salvation. Stop right there. The only scriptures available at that point in time was the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't written yet. The New Testament's account, actually, the writing of the New Testament, but get that straightened out, because some preachers will say they didn't start till, you know, later on in the book of Matthew, but the written New Testament starts in Matthew. I know the Gospels. I know it's where most of the time. But when Jesus said that, It had the wand of prophets. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have salvation, and they are what? What do? They testify of me. They are they which testify of me. What? The scriptures, the law, the prophets, they testify of Jesus Christ. Why? Because this entire book, from Genesis to Revelation, is the Word of God. And he is in the volume of the book, and the Word of God testifies of Jesus Christ. It's silver purified seven times. It's redemption between the alligator covers. God made alligators too. So I can have an alligator covered book. He's okay with that. Tim too. Tim's straight with it. We're good. Amen. So that's why I like that verse, because it uses the word silver. It compares the scriptures to the word silver. Yeah, I'm hitting that a lot, because the book's perfect. It never contradicts itself. The more you read it, with the desire to believe that it's true,
right,
the more you'll find out it to be true. Now, I've known people, know a person who reads the Bible with the intent of proving it wrong, and they drive themselves crazy. You want to drive yourself nuts? Read the King James Bible with the intent of proving it wrong. You might just lose your mind. But that might be a good thing, because the King James Bible will always prove itself right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why people do this.
Right.
They don't want to hear the rightness, the righteousness of God. They don't want to hear Jesus Christ saying, I know all about you. Little Miss, all the more, I got your number. I know everything we're thinking right now. Right? Pastor Hain back there, I think you're 80 years old, and I know you're not perfect. Right? I can say that to him. He's my friend. Jesus Christ has made a friend. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I had to come to Pastor Hain. Just a little thing. I come back about a year and a half ago. I said, Pastor Hain, you just get on my nerves. I started playing about you. God's worked it out, and I want you to know I love you. You don't get on my nerves anymore.
Amen.
You know, he did. Remember that, right? And then he said, thank you, Brother Ronnie. I love you too. God. Be careful what you say. That's good, because you don't know what might come tell you someday. I'm a pretty honest guy. I'm a pretty honest cat about stuff. Transparency is key to healing. Isn't it? Right? You can't get your problem fixed if you admit you have a problem. Right? Careful. God knows all your problems, though. Right, sis? No. You should not admit that, no? Just the one right next to you, huh?
Yeah.
No? All right. So we see it's purified silver seven times. And going on in Psalm 12, verse 7, it says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Again, just simple enough to believe that. Just because it says that. From what generation? Whatever generation's reading them, from then on, they're preserved. From whatever generation read them before, they're preserved. From whatever generation wrote down the word or the letter, I don't got to go there, I. From in. In the beginning. From then. From when? From before that, even. Why? Because Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth, right? So what generation? Every single one that's ever been. And since the Bible teaches us there'll be no end of his government, everyone that ever shall be, for eternity. I shared that with my brother the other day. He said, John, you know, mankind's never going to have an end. I said, why? I said, you know, all that stuff you like to talk about, all the planets and different inhabitants. And I said, well, all those planets and all these stars and all this vastness has got to be for a reason. God don't make stuff for no reason. It's going to be occupied someday, right? I mean, listen, we're eventually going to overpopulate the planet if we never have an end. Eventually, we've got to go somewhere. That's just Ronnie. A little bit. You know? You know, you're allowed to take the Word of God and what it says and go with it. Did you know that? Right? Isn't that wonderful? If the King James Bible says something, just be some crackhead theology professor from some know-nothing Bible college tells you that this is what it means and you got to believe me, you don't. You can just take what this says and go with it.
Amen.
This is enough.
Amen.
The word is enough. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Turn back to the book of John, please. We started this out with saying it's all about becoming part of the bride. Right? John verse 1, or chapter 1 again. Back to John chapter 1. We're going to drop down to verse 12. It says this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What is his name?
The Word.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All three parts of God were there in the beginning. All three parts were the Word. It says Word three times. God is Christ. God is the Word. I come up, well, I don't come up's the right word, but I spent time in a lot of different churches, fundamentalist Baptist churches, where they told me that Jesus Christ is God in a man's body. King James Bible does not support that. Does not. King James Bible calls him that holy thing. Not God in a man's body. I'm going to. I'm going to do my best. John 1:14 says this. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is that flesh? What is that man? That's the Word. That's the Word made flesh. John 3:16, what's it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? Who is that only begotten Son? The Word made flesh.
Amen.
The only begotten of the Father. The flesh of Jesus Christ is not like our flesh. He is in the flesh. He is come in the flesh, present tense. His flesh is nothing like ours except in what it looks like. Why? Because he is God. God is Christ. I always do that. I'm going to unlearn that eventually one day, and I'll stop saying Jesus Christ is God. I'm teaching myself that God is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm working on it. Like Play-Doh. Amen? In my family, we got the same. You see, when we're upset and we're hurt and we're broken, we're maybe sick or feeling, we call ourselves a putty. We're a putty. Yeah? Be putty in God's hands, right? Let him mush you in there. Amen. Be conformed. If you're not being conformed right now, purpose in yourself to find a desire to be conformed. You need a desire.
Amen.
You need a desire.
Amen.
If you come without a desire, there's no desire for God to give you or to fulfill for you. Now, God draws us. Anybody who's here tonight has been drawn of God. Purpose in your own mind to decide that, hey, I don't have the right wanting going on. I don't have the right desiring going on. Ask God to change your wanter. Ask God to help you with that desire. But do your very best to decide on your own. Right? And then mingle that with faith from the Bible. Let the Word of God pepper that inside you. Right, pepper like a shotgun. Boom! A broad covering. Right? It pierces you too. The Word of God will pierce you also. That shot to the heart, if you will. The kill shot. Kill that old ninja. Kill that old man. Boom, right? With the arrows. I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad that I'm here right now.
Amen.
I'm back. I might start doing a Mick Vernon and start hacking and saying, ain't you glad, you know? But I ain't really got that in me. But I'm glad, like Dale said. I'm not, what time is it? It's almost 9 o'clock. I'm not drunk, I'm not stoned. I'm not counting the money in my pocket to see how long I can stay at the bar before I need to go to the ATM. I'm not thinking about what man's going to give my wife a hard time so I can get in a fight. I used to live for that stuff. Not anymore. Now I've died to that stuff. Anyways, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. For God so loved the world. God loved, because God is love. What does love do? It gives. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God is love, so God gave. Whosoever believeth, ETH, has a beginning but no end. Believeth, continuing in an ongoing thing, right, Miss Sam? Amen. You got it, right? Yeah, I remember listening to her nonsense for a bunch of time. It's all right, he had to listen to mine, he had to listen to mine. I still spew nonsense, but I believe it now. I did my best to believe, and then God let me believe it. I reckon that ain't good English for today, though. But it's Bible English. So I penciled in a few verses here. I don't remember what I wrote them down for, but God gave them to me, so I'm going to look them up. I'm just going to look up one. At the very end of this, I'm going to look up the last one. It's Luke chapter 2. I'm already in Luke for some reason. So Luke chapter 2. And my pencil mark says read chapter 2, 22 through 25. Honestly, I have no idea why. Ah, now I do. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which was in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is upon him. What's the consolation of Israel? The Messiah. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, for he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What do you see? The word of the God, or the word of God made flesh. God revealed that to him through the Holy Ghost. That was the word of God made flesh, the consolation of Israel, the salvation of mankind. That's where we'll stop. Thank you. Oh, please don't do it to me. Hey, the man has a practice of lighting me up. I don't know how to turn that on.
That's fine. So I just wanted to say this real quickly. A couple years ago, the Lord showed me that this church cannot die. The Lord showed me that. And because it's one of the things I wonder about, being a pastor of a church that right now is going through a brief bubble of success, we hope it lasts, okay? And you look around at other churches and wonder, you know, what will happen. And from time to time, churches in the area implode or fall apart, and some of them come to Black Creek or whatever else. And the Lord showed me, don't let that happen. And I remember with Brother Kessel, a number of years ago, him being disappointed, couldn't go to the mission field. We suggested to him, well, Farmersville needs a pastor. And again, regardless, his heart wasn't here. He came here, and thank God for that. Thank God for the labor that he put in here, okay? But he would tell you his heart wasn't here, okay? And I heard a thing, or saw a thing on the internet. Of course, that makes it right, you know. But and it was on Facebook, which makes it double right, okay? But a woman was just giving advice to a young lady. She said, don't marry a man who's looking for a wife. Marry a man who wants to be your husband. Okay? And you don't want a pastor here that's looking for a church.
That's right.
You want someone who will come here and love you. This needs to be the center of his world here.
Amen.
When the Lord put me in Black Creek, I honestly thought he was just getting rid of me. You have to know my history well enough to know why I thought that. Thought, all right, kind of like a consolation prize. I envisioned Madison Square Garden, 10,000 people, something of that sort, you know. And Black Creek had 11 voting members, and four would come on any given Sunday. And I thought, that's it, you know, he's just done with me here. And he wasn't, okay. And I realize we have, right now, 8 men at Black Creek who say they have a call to preach. And I think you can see that they have, each one has, you can see a touch of God. Okay, you can also see awkwardness. Okay, and again, you see that. And I can tell you right now that Pastor Hayne and I wouldn't be ready to lay hands on any one of the ones that we have right now and say, go be a pastor now. Okay, we just wouldn't be ready for that. Dale, who's in charge of their schooling, he would say, don't do that. Okay. That doesn't mean the next year or two that God wouldn't put his hand on one, okay? But if he does, I don't want his heart in Black Creek.
Right.
All right? I don't want his heart there. I want his heart right here, okay? And I want him to love the people here.
That's right.
And I don't care if that parsonage is falling apart and termites and bed bugs all through it. He needs to live in it. All right. When I moved into the parsonage at Black Creek, you could see through the floorboards down in the cellar. All right. And the first month we heated with oil, it cost $800. It just wind blew through it everywhere. And we went and put a cheap wood stove in, used it for 10 years. I got COPD out of it. I never smoked. All right. And but regardless of that, the Lord showed me. My wife cried when we moved into it. All right? But the Lord showed me, you live amongst these people. You live amongst them. And you love these people in this neighborhood. Now, when I first went around Black Creek meeting people, they all hated the church. It's probably the same here. You know, a church has been around a while. Everybody has a grudge. Their grandmother didn't like it, or their brother-in-law didn't like it, or something happened over here, over there, whatever else. And churches are just like families or people. They make mistakes, and, you know, and it could be mistakes of church, mistakes on their part or whatever else. And we've seen a few of those people. At least their children come. And I often say that we went out and tried to get the good people, and the good people wouldn't come, so we went out and got the bad people. And God made them into good people. And again, tonight I just sat here, and the Lord burdened my heart so much that get up here and encourage you folks and let you know that, you know, I believe it's important to God, okay, that this church continue, okay? And you pray, I'd like to see, you know, one of these young fellows. My son's getting ready to marry a girl out of Pennsylvania. Their last name is Black. And I was looking at his next three daughters and wished I had three more sons. you know, just such lovely girls and, you know, or whatever else. And right now I'm glad the Lord's raised us up some preachers, and I'd like to see them get that maturity, okay? And each one has different things they need to have. So you folks pray for that. And if God sends someone else beside that, then that's God that does that. Okay? But you need someone who the center of the world is going to be right here. Okay? His heart all week long is on what do you need from the Word of God? What does each family, what does each child need? What does each person here need from the Word of God? And Pastor Hain, would you stand and pray? 60 years that man's been in pulpits. Would you pray for this church that God raise up that man?
I will, but I got to say a few things.
Yes, sir, let's hear them, by golly. You have a lot of nerve just thinking you can speak. Come on.
Yeah, he does this all the time, and other preachers there, they get me thinking, okay? Now, one thing, and I just want to get up high enough so Sam back there can hear me.
I want you to know this. When he says he cares about you, it's real. All right? It's not just pulpit talk. Okay? And what he said so far, I endorse 100%. I'm 80 years old. I was saved when I was 15. I was called to preach when I was 19. I took my first church when I think, 20, 21 years old. But listen, here's the thing. When a man comes, he needs to come, as he said, because he loves you. He said, well, he won't know us. Listen, God will put love in his heart for you.
Hey, that's right.
You'll enable that love to grow. Okay? But he needs to come here to stay here.
That's right.
Now, I started in a denomination. They moved this every 2-3 years. And then I went to an independent church. And after 3 years, they decided they didn't want me. But that was okay because what I wanted, I knew was from the book. And what they wanted was something that wasn't from the book. And so then a group of people said, let's start a new church. You know, at that point of the game, I didn't want anything more to do than to get away from that place. I mean, leaving Shingle House is all I wanted to do. But two different men came to me, unbeknownst to each other, one a Monday morning, one a Monday afternoon, and said, have you thought about starting a church? I told the first one, I'll pray about it. I told the second one, well, you know, God might be in this. And said, did you know so-and-so was here this morning? He said, I had no idea. And so we started a church, and I was there for 39 and a half years.
Amen.
Okay. My wife wanted me to go a half year more and make it an even 40. And I said, no, I think this is the time. But he needs to come because he wants to stay here.
That's right.
Okay. Now, the Lord might end up moving him. But when he comes, he's not coming to leave. He's not coming to use you as a stepping stone to something better. Because there isn't any better place than where God would put him. And then the next thing regarding next door. Okay, now I've not been in there, but it doesn't have a big endorsement from tonight's statement. But a man that comes needs to be a man who's willing. Boy, right. The fancy term for it is to be bivocational. That means he needs to be willing to work a job. Because if your number there is accurate, you're not going to be able to pay him a salary he can live on. That's understandable. And the man that you want is a man who sees the potential to put behind each of those numbers a 1 or a 0. Okay? You say, well, we've never been there. I don't know if we could get there. Don't you limit God. I used to tell the people over in Shingle House, they'd say, well, we're just a little country church in the back road. I would literally scold them for saying that sort of thing. I said, listen, this is the center of our world, and God's in it.
Amen. Amen.
And then we heard of missionaries who'd come home. They'd come and deputy. We heard about your church over in Africa. We heard about your church in Indonesia. A little country church stuck in the back road. No, it was God's place. And when people, if I had to preach in the pulpit and he'd say, well, you know, this is the middle of nowhere. Afterward, not from up front, but afterwards, I go to him and I tell him, now listen, what you're calling the middle of the nowhere is the center of these people's lives.
Amen.
You know, where you live might not impress them any more than where they live impresses you. And so the man that you want is a man that has the kind of spirit that I've just been talking about. Okay. And God has a man. Don't feel like you're done. As soon as you feel like you're done, you're done. Okay? But if you just keep a vision for what God has. Now, I'm going to stop. I was asked to pray, and I already said probably a few more minutes than I ought to. Now, the folks from Black Creek, they're used to it, okay? But those of you from right here in Farmersville, and listen, I want you to know we pray for you. Okay, right. We pray for each of the men that come on a Sunday, but we pray for you as well, not just for them men. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us. I do thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be here during these nights of these meetings. And I pray your blessing, dear Father, on each one of the folks that are here tonight. And I do pray, dear Father, for your will to be carried out in this congregation, and we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This up pretty quickly. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to come here to this church and be able to preach. And you know, Doug, me and you've struck up a friendship, brother. I love our talks. I love coming here to listen to you teach Sunday school. And I just think whoever the man that God does bring here will be a lucky man. Amen. He'll be a blessed man. He'll be a blessed man, and he needs to see that. And I thank God for you two men getting up. You know, when you guys got up and started speaking, I just felt a coolness sweep through this place. It was pretty heavy. There was a lot of resistance here tonight. It's heavy. That's just the reality. There's a lot of heaviness to the word, a lot of rejection to the word of God tonight. And I sensed that, and you men got up and just kind of settled that down. And I thank God for that. And so if I could have Taryn and Don come up. They're going to take an offering here for the men that preached.
Dominic, if you would, pray for that. We'll let you pray.